Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:43 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 30th, and it's been an active day today, both in terms of what the dollar has been doing, but also what's happening on Wall Street. And the Nasdaq is up about 67 points on the future, and that's impressive because it has been consolidating around this 6,000 level. And as I've mentioned on a number of occasions, there are a significant number of these markets that are ranging in the region of these big psychological levels. And the Nasdaq now, provided of course that it can hold this advance, is now challenging that downward bias that we've seen since the end of July. This has been a comparatively mild range relative to what we've seen previously. And when we look at it on the weekly chart, despite the fact that the number of headlines that I've seen predicting a recession or a massive decline, when we look at these medium-term charts and just ask simple filter questions like, is there any evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend-ending characteristics? Well, it's hard to answer in the affirmative. There isn't really any evidence of acceleration. There is no big loss of momentum or wedging characteristic, and there is no massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and we don't have the ranging time and size volatile trading range that would be characterized by a type 3 top. So in that case, we're still in a reasonably consistent trending environment, and as long as that remains the case, we should give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at Europe, the fact that it had pulled back sharply yesterday and then was up a bit in here today, but it is also in need of an upward catalyst. It has been contending with the strength of the euro. But the euro was a little bit weaker in here today. It got all the way up to 120 and didn't quite hold it there yesterday, and now it's coming off that level. Now, obviously, 120 is a big psychological level. You're already starting to see politicians and business leaders in the eurozone, and not least in Germany, beginning to fret about the continued strength of the euro. So it's a natural area where we could anticipate there to be at least some pause and consolidation within the context of what has been really a very impressive advance over the last few months. When we look at it on the weekly basis, you can see that it ranged between about 105 and 115 for over 2 years, and then we had the breakout to 120, and it is looking increasingly likely that we're going to get some form of pause and consolidation. Against that background, then it is likely that indices like the DAX will be able to hold the region of their respective trend means. When we look out to Asia, there are an increasing number of indices that are breaking up out of medium-term ranges. So, for example, here is Thailand. It hit an important peak back in 2013 and pulled back sharply, and it has been ranging for much of the last 4 years. But this was a pretty impressive advance over this week so far, and provided it is continuing to find support in the region of the trend mean, we can probably give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we look at other Asian markets, we're presented with reasonably similar patterns. Vietnam is another market that hasn't received an awful lot of attention, but again, when we look at the weekly chart, it's a consistent advance. It's been pausing below this psychological 800 round number, but that's all it looks like. It looks like nothing more than a consolidation. And against that background, there's this widespread angst being exhibited in the media, and but when we look at the stock markets, what we're being presented with is more of a pause than anything else, which has contributed to much of the overextensions relative to the trend mean being unwound, and at least partially, and that is potentially setting us up for the next upward leg. And what we're starting to see is some signs of that beginning to occur, and not least in the biotech sector. It's been a very active few days within the biotech sector, and particularly within the immuno-oncology sector. The pace of M&A activity is picking up within that subsector, because it represents the thin end of the wedge in terms of personalized medicine. It's been my belief for more than a year already that it's in immuno-oncology that we're most likely to see the advent of personalized medicine because of the complexity of treating cancer, that broad-based, one-size-fits-all treatments simply don't work. That means that you need to have a personalized approach. And if you're going to have a personalized approach, you need personalized tools. CAR T-cell treatments or the application of CRISPR technology to gene editing are two attack vectors in terms of the advent of personalized medicine. Novartis just today received the go-ahead weeks in advance of when it was expecting it for its CAR T-cell treatment, which is basically re-educating the immune system to target cancer cells. Then we had Gilead Sciences taking over Kite Pharmaceuticals, and Gilead was one of the leading performers in here today. And of course, Ariad Pharmaceutical was taken over by Takeda back in February, and that was probably the initial merger that really set off the M&A in this sector. So it is looking increasingly likely that it is about time that biotech returns to a mantle of outperformance. And it is also indicative of where we are, because this is a period of time where cyclicals are beginning to return to outperformance. And cyclicals are represented by technology shares, not so much by companies like Microsoft, which have, I think, more migrated away from technology towards the high-quality consumer companies because of the adoption of subscription models, whereas it is very much more in the development stage of the technology sector that you get more lumpy cash flows, and that contributes to their cyclicality. Glencore in here today has been able to push through the £3.50 level for the first time since 2012. When we look at, for example, the FTSE 350 mining index, then it continues to remain on a recovery trajectory and move to a new recovery high in here today. And these are also representative of the return to outperformance of cyclical sectors. And the ASX 300 Resources Index in Australia hasn't quite broken out yet, but it is right in the region of the highs that we saw earlier this year. These all represent recovery trajectories. The nickel price has been a wallflower within the context of the industrial metals complex that has been recovering, but it is returning to outperformance, and it's been up on consecutive weeks. There is a reasonable argument now that there is the potential for additional upside, and also that cobalt is a byproduct of nickel mining, so therefore the nickel miners will also have the capacity to supply cobalt to the burgeoning lithium-ion battery sector. Cobalt is an additional ingredient in those batteries, and an essential ingredient as well. So that could be helping to drive additional interest within the sector. We're also seeing that there is at least some evidence that the cybersecurity sector is beginning to attract investor interest once more. The ETF has bounced from the region of the trend mean, but one of the reasons that it hasn't been doing better is because there is enormous variability in the performance of these shares. There are very clear winners and losers, but we are starting to see shares like Barracuda Networks coming to the upper side of reasonably lengthy ranges, and that would suggest that there is the potential here for some additional upside. That ranges, after all, are explosions waiting to happen. And when we look at the gold price, the fact that the dollar was a little bit firmer in here today sapped some of the investment interest over the last few days for gold. It is Trading still above $1,300. If it can sustain that move, then I think we can conclude that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short-term steadying that we've seen over the last few weeks. Silver is still trading above $17. That represents a move above the trend mean, and it is now challenging the highs that we saw back in June. So it is, I think, we are getting at least some indication that the tide has turned for these precious metals, but they absolutely need to hold these advances within any consolidation that unfolds. And of course, platinum is pausing around that psychological $1,000 level, and but so far it has held the majority of the advance, and it was well off its low in here today. So a comparatively steady environment, but they are subject to the potential that the dollar is really quite overextended, and that the euro is at a point where it could potentially be starting to be talked down. So there is the potential here for a dollar rally, and that could contribute to a more difficult environment for the precious metals. Now, when we look at that dollar index on a weekly basis, it is right at the lower side of that range. And on two previous occasions, when it got down to this level, we had very long tails on the candle, and there is a reasonable tail on this weekly candle as well, and a very deep oversold condition relative to the trend mean. Even in a bear market environment, there is the potential for a reversion back towards the mean, and I think it's getting increasingly likely that that is potentially what we could have. And gasoline prices surged higher again in here today as Harvey made landfall on the border between Texas and Louisiana. So those gasoline prices now are breaking higher. It was up $11 on the September contract, but of course that's expiring tomorrow. So well, let's just look at the second month continuation chart. It's probably easier. And hold on, that's not going to do it. I'm sorry about that. So when we look at that second month continuation chart, it hasn't quite broken out yet. That really does help to emphasize that the very sharp backwardation, it was all the interest was in the September contract, and gasoline is coming up towards the 165 area on the October contract. And what this has also contributed to is a pretty wide, I think, arbitrage between Brent crude, which is around just around the $51 area, and WTI, which is at just about 46. WTI is obviously coming down faster because with all the refineries. With I think upwards of 20% of refining capacity in the US shut down, that is removing demand for crude oil in the very short term. But once we start to see that refining capacity come back online, then that arbitrage is likely to disappear, which would suggest that there is a pairs trade opportunity evolving in the difference between the WTI and Brent crude. And when we look at the bond markets, it's been a reasonably steady day. We had that tail on the candle yesterday, but in much the same way that the stock market has been quite steady, the bond markets have also been pretty quiet. I think that there are still a lot of people that want to have some insurance. What we have certainly had is an uptick in people wanting to take some risk off the table. We're still in August, and this is still a and of course we're not going to be in August for very much longer, but you have the Labor Day weekend coming up in the US this weekend, and I think a lot of people won't be really be back at work until after it. And after that, then we can probably conclude that we're leaving the silly season, and that we can perhaps begin to think about what are people going to do when they come back? Are they going to take out long positions? Because the stock market is definitely starting to shape up. What I've also seen is a number of headlines saying that the transportation index is rolling over, and that's really bad news for just about everything else. But when I look at the weekly chart, what I see is a consolidation just below that big psychological 10,000 level, and it's firming from the region of the trend mean. And as long as that remains the case, I'd be willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And I think with that, I will wish you all the best to all of you.